Dave Fanning Show is our Twitter address. Now, it sounds like something that would never happen, but just imagine this. A stranger knocks on your door one day to tell you that a long-lost relative has just died and left you millions. Seems pretty unlikely, but not as unlikely as you might think. Finders International, it's an English company that do just that. Their business is tracing missing heirs to unclaimed inheritances, and they've just set up a Dublin office. Daniel Curran is the Managing Director of Finders International, and he's on the line now to explain how it all works. Welcome to the programme, Daniel. Daniel, first things first, explain to us what exactly you do.
Right, well, first and foremost, we work with solicitors who contact us when they have a problem tracing heirs to an estate. So it could be a missing beneficiary named in a will, or it could be someone who's passed away intestate and they don't know who the next of kin are.
Okay, I don't mean to sort of harp on filthy lucre at the very beginning from your point of view, but obviously this is a worthwhile operation to open a Dublin office.
Yeah, well, what we found is we listed all the unclaimed estates from persons of Irish descent in the UK. There's over 550 names on a website called unclaimedestates.ie, and they're all people from Ireland that would have died intestate and left some money to be claimed. So we thought, well, firstly, we'll work on those cases and see if we can find the entitled heirs rather than it goes to the English Crown.
Okay, so basically, searching for relatives who passed away without any living known heirs, failed to make a will. That was a BBC series that was there called Heir Hunters. So yep. Explain to us then what happens when a person dies without any known relatives or even a will. Like, who hires you people at Finders International? Or do you just go and find cases yourselves?
Well, that's exactly the problem. There's no one to hire us because there's no next, a bit of a catch-22. There's no next of kin with who can access the deceased assets and therefore spend any money to trace next of kin. So what we do is we work speculatively, and on BBC Heir Hunters we focused on the cases where we had to trace next of kin when none were known.
And at the end of the day, what happens with you guys is you charge the beneficiaries if there are a percentage of the value, is that it?
Yeah, we agree a commission, a percentage based on the net value of whatever the individual heir gets at the end of the day. So if they get nothing, we get nothing.
Right, okay. So, you get probate researchers, you hire solicitors in the UK maybe, or whatever it is, or what do you call them in the States? Estate attorneys or something, is it?
Yeah, lawyers or estate attorneys, yeah.
Right, okay.
So all around the world there's people in this situation. Of course, from abroad as well, there's a lot of Irish emigrants, so we're working on those cases as well where the money will come back to Irish families, hopefully.
Okay, like, they do it in the UK, you're saying, but does the Irish government publish a list of unclaimed estates?
No, they don't. The system's a bit different here. The state is the ultimate heir, but they only publish as a last resort infrequently. And we did one case, for example, where they gave us the advert came out and we had 30 days to trace the next of kin. And we managed to trace 35 beneficiaries to that one all around the world within 30 days. But it was a bit of a tough call.
And if you hadn't traced those, what would have happened after 30 days?
Well, it would have gone to the state.
And it's gone from you and it's gone from anybody else who might subsequently have a claim.
Exactly.
Right, okay. Okay, so therefore, in general then, how long does an inheritance remain available before the government starts moving in?
Well, I mean, it depends on when it's referred, when they get to hear about it, of course, initially. So someone might contact the state office straight away. There may be a ward of court who's died without any known relatives, and that's another area of work. So you have someone who's lost mental capacity, who's next of kin or unknown, and then finders might step in and ask and try and trace the next of kin in that situation.
No, I'm just thinking, like, would there be a lucrative sort of market here, if you like, in that, like, I don't know, there's at least, whatever it is, maybe 40 to 80 to 100 million people in America who might claim some sort of Irish ancestry, and it's very possible that Joe Bloggs, who might have gone in the middle 1800s or the middle 1900s or whatever it happened to be, do you know what I'm saying here, that could easily, there might be more proportion, or like, you know, in Ireland than there might be in a lot of other countries.
Well, exactly, especially with the number of emigrants from Ireland.
Yeah.
There was a case recently where an Irish fellow went to Chicago years ago. He passed away recently, leaving a will. But the problem there was that his sister was named in the will, and she lived in Ireland, but she was a ward of court.
Mm.
So no one could actually contact her because she had moved into a care home. No one knew where she was. The last known address in the will wasn't valid, but she came into about 3 or 4 million dollars in the end from this guy who opened a chain of Irish pubs in Chicago, apparently.
And the money, the money did go to her.
It did go there. We had to track her down to where she subsequently lived, because the original address obviously was out of date, and they couldn't find her from the information they had.
Right, and is it like, just how often would you come across people dying without a will or people dying with a will? What's the percentage?
Well, it's about 60% of people that die without a will.
Really?
I think many people make the assumption that it will go to your family, but when you have assets in different countries, they might be subject to different laws as well. So you have to really use a kind of belt and braces approach if you want to make absolutely sure that no one else is going to get the money that you didn't intend to anyway.
Okay, so just tell me, like, what's the very first step that you take as the man in charge of, like, the managing director of Finders International? In the process of finding relatives, what do you do first?
Okay, well, the first thing would be obviously to gather as much information as possible. So around the UK, we have about 35 regional representatives, and they would go and knock on doors typically and see if there are any information from neighbours or anyone in the locality that can help.
Okay, so researching to find people then, is it mostly computer-based?
Well, that's it. I mean, you have to have people on the ground still, even these days. There's a lot of internet resources, computer-based resources, but you can't solve everything through the computer. It's just not possible. So you have to have that team of people on the ground to help out as well.
I presume one of your big sort of things would be, like, for God's sake, make a will. I mean, like, Rick Mayall is in the papers this morning, and he didn't have a will, and there's a trouble now that his wife of, you know, 20, 30, 40 years and his grown-up kids aren't going to get the money that he's left.
No, absolutely. I mean, if you want to avoid a potentially complex situation, even where it seems like with Rick Mayall, it might seem apparently simple who's going to inherit, but you really need to try and make sure you've covered all angles.
Okay, just as a matter of interest, is there a fixed percentage that you charge?
No, it's negotiable with the heirs. I mean, it sort of varies between anything from 5 to 30%, depending on the value of the estate, the amount of work, the amount of time we've spent on it.
And if there's no money result at the end of it, you're talking pro bono work here, are you really?
Well, exactly, yeah. I mean, we did quite a famous case in London for a woman who was homeless, but she was a bit of a celebrity. She lived in a used car on the streets. There were several hundred people at her funeral in the end, and the council contacted us because they wanted us to trace some kind of relatives before the funeral. It was in all the papers in England, a lady called Anne Naismith. So we traced some relatives in the end, but there was no money to inherit. So, yeah, we do pro bono work where it's appropriate.
Right. By the way, we're talking to Daniel Curran of Finders International, the English company that have set up now a Dublin office. 51552 is our text if you have any questions here, because I'm sure there's some people who often think about or heard about some relatives in the States from so many years ago who, whatever, have lost any contact that they mightn't have even had in the first place and who might be interested in whatever. So can people do the tracing work themselves? I mean, for instance, is there a database of unclaimed estates here that they can search themselves if they think they have a relative who might have left them an estate or might have left them something?
Yeah, absolutely. As I say, there's unclaimedestates.ie. You can look up names of people who've died in England and Wales from there. And if people think they have someone further afield that may have died and left them money, they can contact us through the website findersinternational.ie. So there's ways of researching. We can either start from the name of the deceased, specific date and death, and amount of money that they left behind. Or people can come to us and say, well, I think this is my, I know my uncle went to America and I think he died here and I think he had a lot of money and whatever. So we can do it that way round if necessary.
Right. How do people agree a fee if they don't know the beneficiaries or the heirs until they find them?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, the UK Crown do not release the value of the estate. So we do everything we can to try and ascertain the value, but sometimes it really is a shot in the dark. All we know is that it's going to be over £500. But I think a lot of people go into it thinking, well, nothing ventured, nothing gained, and at the worst case scenario, they end up with a free family tree.
Right, indeed, yeah. I must say, like, looking through the database or whatever, it must be, it's a fascinating afternoon's read, if nothing else. I mean, to do the work yourself, if you like, the unclaimed estates. I've never thought of doing that. And there's quite a lot of people who've been born in Ireland whose names are on the British Treasury's list of unclaimed estates, aren't there?
That's right, yeah. And the unclaimedestates.ie, we've separated out all the Irish ones to make it easy for everyone. And they click on the estates button and just scroll through or search, find your family name. and see if you can find a connection. So if you recognise a name there, you just send an email and we'll try and help you sort it out.
And you are dealing with particular Irish cases at the moment, I presume, are you?
Yeah, I mean, there's one unresolved case that's worth, that has no heirs, worth about €700,000. A lady whose family came from Mullingar.
Damn, my family don't come from Mullingar.
well, this lady, Kathleen Hilda Ryan, died in 2013 in South East London. And her only relative that we haven't accounted for, the rest of the family's all died out, but there's one lady called Lizzie or Eliza Ryan, born around 1876 in Mullingar. So if she has any surviving descendants, they'll come into about €700,000. So if anyone's got any leads on that, obviously we're keen to hear from them.
Kathleen Hilda what?
Kathleen Hilda Ryan.
Kathleen Hilda Ryan. And we're talking 2013, she died in London, is that what you said?
Yeah, she was born in London, but her father was John Joseph Ryan, born 3rd of July 1887 in Mullingar. He was the youngest of four children of Joseph and Bridget, John and Bridget. And the only surviving member of the family that we haven't accounted for, everyone else has died out, but there's one chance left to avoid this going to the crown, and that's Eliza or Lizzie, born 1876 in Mullingar.
And just as a matter of interest, when does the statute run out on that? How long do you have?
On this kind of case, we'd have 30 years.
Right.
From the date of death, but typically it's 12 years they pay interest on the estate, but it's like anything, if you don't resolve it within a couple of years, it gets much more difficult, because then you're relying on people's distant memories of someone.
Okay, well, distant memories, John Joseph Ryan, etc., Mullingar from 1837 or whatever, 1887, whatever.
Yep.
If you get lots of phone calls today, now, or tomorrow, about that, or from people saying, I'm related to Kathleen, yeah, Hilda Ryan, etc., like, you know, there's a lot of sifting, I'd say, to be done, is there?
Yeah, you have to make sure. I mean, you can't have people, obviously, Lizzie or Eliza would no longer be a Ryan if she married, and then their issue, she may have had girls and they married and changed their names too. So I very much doubt if anyone by the surname of Ryan, so we can probably rule that out straight away. But yeah, if anyone does think they have the connection, then we urge them to get in touch.
And have you any other Irish ones you can tell me about?
Yes, yeah, certainly. My very sort of quite amusing story, my namesake's the Curran family from Ballinar in County Mayo. We traced this guy's relatives, and he had five siblings. Some of them went to America post-Second World War. One of the sisters married a pilot. The last brother deceased we found worked as a police officer in Monaghan. And then he married the singer of the Jack Rowan Orchestra, which then became the Jack Rowan Show Band. Now, this lady had previously had a son who was given up for adoption, and then he went on to join a pop group called Level 42, which I'm sure is quite well known to you.
Holy crap! What?
You can't make it up.
No, you can't. In fact, if I remember rightly, Level 42, wasn't that the band your man used to play? Yeah, he used to play the guitar up under his chin.
That's right. That's the one.
Okay, sorry, I think I'm with you here. Go ahead. Yeah, Curran's from Ballinagh, yeah?
Yeah, now they've all been traced, and they're due to inherit from their uncle who passed away in London, but like I say, the one thing leads to another in this kind of business. You have a fairly innocuous-looking family tree, and you end up with celebrity connections and show bands and pop groups and everything else.
And what about the ones that have featured on BBC One's Air Hunters? Is that how you, I presume you pronounce it, Air Hunters, do you?
Air Hunters, yeah.
Okay. How many cases have you worked on for the programme?
Well, so far we've worked on about 25 or so cases. It gets broadcast in Ireland, BBC One, but the latest series has just finished. We've had some amazing stories on there. There was one guy that died and had a house full of motorbike parts. He had 30 cars in his garden, 250 tyres. It took a week to clear his house using cranes and everything else to clear the house, and they found a wardrobe full of untouched dinky toys inside the house. So that went to auction. Raised a lot of money from these valuable antiques. The house was cleared, and then we found his relatives as on intestacy. Then there was another hitch. During the house clearance, they found a will. But the people named in the will had all died before the guy himself, so it then became an intestacy again. So it was real swings and roundabouts on that one. One minute they thought they're inheriting, the next minute there's a will, and then it's all back on again. But that was quite, you know, it was an amazing case of hoarding, and, you know, people, his house was sort of ram-packed with everything under the sun.
Just pardon my ignorance about wills here, but does a will not have to be kept somewhere, like, not so much under lock and key, but officially? Like, if you suddenly find a will under somebody's mattress, is that good enough, yeah?
It's good enough if it's witnessed properly, signed properly, and it has to be an original.
Right.
There is, surprisingly, no central registry for wills. There's information systems online to keep a record of registration. People often leave it with their local solicitor. But we do a search service as well for lawyers to try and find missing wills. And at the end of the day, then we can take out insurance in case a will is found. So if, even if people inherit on intestacy, we can put insurance in place so they don't have to pay their money back should the will leave everything to charity or something.
And who got the dinky toys? They were sold,
were
they?
The dinky toys went to Bonhams and were sold for £6,000. Yeah, so it was quite an exciting few weeks.
£6,000. I have two versions of the Aston Martin DB5 from the James Bond movie from the early days, where the guy, where you press the button and your man gets shot out of the roof. I wonder what they're worth.
I'll have a word with the auctioneer.
Please, Bonhams, get them now, on the line, quick. Okay, so where do you think most of the business is going to come from in Ireland? Now, I know you touched on this earlier. Is it quite obviously United States of America from families of maybe 100 years ago?
Well, we're looking at mainly surprising numbers of lawyers in Ireland, within Ireland, will have problems, have encountered problems over the years, but just not known what to do. And in our business, it's tracing heirs to estates has always been a sort of like fairly informal basis, even with lawyers. They've contacted the local guy who does a bit of family tree work, and it hasn't really been approached in a sort of thorough, professional, risk-managed way. So what we're doing is saying to lawyers in Ireland, dig out the old files, and if you've got someone due even a few hundred to a few thousand euro, then we can probably find them. On the other side of the coin, as you say, there's people dying in the UK, in America, Canada, wherever else, where the money should come back to Ireland, or people born in Ireland anyway that may have emigrated as well, of course.
And here's one of 51552, a text. If you haven't agreed a fee with heirs because you don't know who they are until you find them, what's to stop relatives when you do find them from refusing to pay a fee?
Well, often the situation is we contact them and we say, this person's died, this much money is due. They've got, after they sign the contract, they've got 2 weeks to cancel under European law, so there's nothing to stop them saying, you know, get lost, thanks for the information. But the problem there is that they then run an enormous risk of all the things we've talked about. They could be one of 50 heirs and due about 10 euros at the end of the day. So if they want to then prove their own claim, they'll have to go to a lawyer, get all their documents, do all the family tree work, and they might easily end up spending far more money than they get an individual basis.
Yeah,
the other option is, of course, if we later down the line we find a will that disinherits everyone, they won't get a penny.
Yeah, well, like it's the way things go. Like these days, people go out shopping in the afternoon. They try on dresses in the most expensive shops, then they pop home and buy it at a quarter of the price online. It's like using people to do the dirty work for them, and then they drop you, kind of thing. You know. Okay, well, you guys anyway are in Dublin. It's Finders International, and you're going to trace missing heirs for unclaimed inheritances, etc. And I presume you're going to hire a staff, and would I assume that in that staff there'd be kind of those guys that look like professors in university of genealogists who spend ages going back through family trees, etc.?
Yeah, we actually have a great team of very experienced researchers in Ireland. We've been working in Ireland for many, many years. It's just that we've decided to move it up a gear and work with lawyers, make sure that everything's dealt with in a thorough and professional manner. Yeah, but we do have some fantastic researchers out there, and we're always keen to hear from anyone else if they want, you know, they want to join the team and they think they've got what it takes, then obviously they can get in touch with us, send us an email.
Okay, now, but by the way, Daniel Curran, just as a matter of interest, did you look for yourself maybe in that Mayo case you mentioned earlier on?
That would have been a conflict of interest, I think they call it.
I don't know about that. You know, if the money's yours, the money's yours, you know?
Well, exactly, but both my parents are living. I think one of the first criteria in any case like this is that one of your parents will be deceased in order to inherit through that bloodline.
Right.
So, and another thing is, of course, an only child will inherit a lot more than one of six. So it's kind of an interesting situation with intestacy law as well.
Yeah, I've got a big family. I'm screwed. Okay, just as a matter of interest then, like, did you ever think there's something quite sad about it all in some ways, that somebody dies with no apparent relatives and then suddenly people start to appear when money is in question?
Well, exactly. It's one of those things. We did a case once in East London where a lady was insisting she was the only beneficiary to the estate. And they were a very proud, very religious family. But the lawyer wanted us to check the family tree. And in the end, we found that a little old man in the Midlands, who was actually her nephew, so he inherited over £250,000, over half the estate. But the story transpired later on that she was rather ashamed of him because he had had terrible mental health problems and spent most of his life with a beard down to his waist, wandering around a housing estate in East London. But when we actually found him, he was in his 70s, a sort of little modest old man in the Midlands, very happy and very sane. And yes, it was kind of a sad story. Mm. Like a lot of these are very bittersweet stories. When you contact the people, they wish they'd known their relative or wish they'd been able to do something for them. But, you know, it's sweetened with the possibility of inheritance, of course.
You have to be very sensitive. Cans of worms being opened all over the place. Okay, so Finders International is what it's called. And Daniel Kern, the Managing Director, thanks a million for talking to us. If people want to check it out, Daniel, where do they go?
All right, so if you think you have a relative who's died in England or Wales, it's unclaimedestates.ie. Have a search and see if you can see anything that rings any bells. And if you want to look at the business in general, it's findersinternational.ie and how we help lawyers, councils, wards of court, this sort of thing, on the main website there.
All right, well, thanks a million for talking to us, Daniel, and good luck with your venture in Dublin. Thanks.
Pleasure. Thanks, Dave.